I'm excited that you are here. On Friday, if you remember in the Easter story, on Friday, we call it Good Friday, but it's really a dark day because Christ goes to the cross and blood is shed. And then on Saturday, we spent the day mourning his life because he's in the tomb. And back then, the disciples were, okay, what's going to happen? Is it over? But then today, on Sunday, we wake up and we celebrate that Jesus rose from the dead in victory over sin and death. And through his victory, we have victory. Through his victory, we are saved, we are healed, we are set free. And we have victory in this life and in the next. Like we sang, oh death, where is your sting? Oh death, where is your victory? Through the cross and the resurrection, we are one with him. So this morning, this Easter, my question for you, are you alive with Christ and sharing in his victory? Whether you're a Christian or not a Christian, are you alive with Christ and sharing in his victory and walking with God? Because you can be a Christian and still not walk with God and really tap into the life that he offers you. Are you alive with Christ this morning as we celebrate that he has risen and is back with us? Please join me in a brief prayer and we'll get into today's message. Father God, we come to you this morning just in awe and in praise, and we just look at the cross and we look at the empty tomb and we say, God be glorified. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we cannot say thank you enough. All we can do is say, yes, Jesus, thank you for saving my soul, for doing the work of salvation. So Lord, I pray that each person here is here to celebrate Easter and to celebrate your resurrection. We invite your Holy Spirit into this place. Lord, may you do work in our hearts and in our lives that we can't even ask or imagine. You've got bigger dreams for us than we can ever even dream up. So Lord, take control. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, you may know it or you may not know it, but did you know that Easter is the most important day on the Christian calendar? It's absolutely true. It's not just important. It's not just, you know, over here and we're going to do this because it happened. It's not the way that important in the way that other Christian holidays are important. While they are all very important, it's different because Jesus' resurrection is the singular doctrine that elevates Christianity above all other world religions. Nobody else has a risen Savior that is sitting at God's right hand and interceding on our behalf. Nobody else has that. Nobody else has the grace and forgiveness. Everybody else is self-made, self-actualization. I can be good and then the gods will love me if they are there. Christianity is founded on the very foundation that Jesus conquered death and rose from the dead. If he does not rise from the dead, this is so important. If Jesus does not pull it off. Okay, so we serve as Savior. You want to believe in the resurrection today? If you're struggling to believe in the resurrection today, Jesus said it would happen. And he fulfilled prophecy that had been being proclaimed for 4,000 years. He said he would do it, and he pulled it off. He pulled it off. You're going to worship a guy like that. You're going to give your life to Jesus, 100% man, 100% God. If Jesus doesn't rise from the dead, then Christianity is nothing more than any of these other religions. If Jesus doesn't rise from the dead, he's nothing more than an ancient guru, and everything that we do here is pointless. Pointless. You ever been in a church where the pastor actually admits that it could be pointless? It could be pointless if Jesus doesn't pull this off, because the Bible actually says that our preaching and our faith would be useless if the hope that we have in Christ is only for this life. If it doesn't outlive where we're living today, we are to be more pitied than anybody in the entire world. The resurrection is paramount. All the baptisms from last week would be pointless and meaningless. Everybody that calls on the name of the Lord to be saved, meaningless, gets you nowhere. All of the singing that we're doing, absolutely in vain. All of these scriptures that we read, everything that I say, empty words, nothing, outdated lies and philosophies, zero power over sin, zero victory, a life that is not worth living, pointless. Have you ever been in a church where the pastor admitted that if this didn't happen, it's pointless? That's the truth of scripture. All of scripture points us to this day of Jesus resurrecting. And we celebrate Easter because it is the paramount foundation of our faith. And when we did all those baptisms last week, we were buried with Christ and raised again, unifying ourselves with what he did. So all of you in this room, all the skeptics and the non-believers are thinking, yeah, it's pointless, right? Preach it, brother. Why are we here? You're wasting my time. Preach it, come on. Now, if you're in that camp this morning, I say welcome. I'm really, really, really glad that you're here. And I invite you to bring your questions. I invite you to bring your doubts. I invite you to bring your criticisms. I invite you to bring your conversations, because I believe that as you seek God, he will show himself to you. And I have no fear, because for one, we believe in faith. For two, because not only has Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead, but the resurrection of Jesus Christ has been more examined by the church and by the world than any event in the history of the world. There are people out there working their tails off day after day after day to disprove the resurrection of Christ. And it has not been done, cannot be done. But I don't believe because of that fact and that truth. I believe in faith, and I invite you to as well, to believe in faith. And if you have no faith, say, Lord, give me faith. Help my unbelief. And the Bible says that God will meet you there. And I believe that he will, because I believe that he wants to. And all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. So I invite you to bring your challenges, to bring your conversations, to bring your doubts. God wants your doubts. And I invite those conversations. But the good news of Easter is that Jesus is alive. Amen? Jesus is risen. And right after Jesus rose from the dead and he spent 40 days with the disciples and the followers, and he walked and talked, and he was physically risen. He could eat and drink with them, but then he was also a spiritual being, because he could just kind of pop in, right? Like, he's like, hey, door's locked, but I'm in the room. That happened quite a bit. But right after Jesus ascends back into heaven, Peter, the lead apostle, preaches a sermon. He receives the Holy Spirit 10 days after Jesus goes to heaven, and he steps out and he says, all these people over here babbling in different languages that you can somehow understand, don't worry, they're not drunk. Let me tell you about the risen Savior. And he says this in Acts 2:24. He proclaims it this way right before 3,000 men were saved, not even counting women and children. He says, but God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. It was impossible for death to hold down Jesus, and God raised him from the dead. Peter's sharing the message, and he wants everybody to know that Jesus is triumphant, that we have serve a triumphant God who raises Jesus from the dead. And what the Jewish mob and the Roman soldiers intended for evil, God absolutely used for an ultimate good. Jesus, as Jesus experiences the agony of death as he experiences Good Friday and whatever's going on Saturday behind the scenes that we don't know, we can't completely understand. He's experiencing all of that. He's taking on the entire sins of the world. And since he is life, he is God, he is the only one righteous and perfect and spotless and sinless and lived that life, 100% God, 100% man. He did not deserve the wages of sin. He did not deserve death. But because he was spotless and he was in the hand of God, Jesus could not be defeated by death. And it was impossible for death to hold him. The word is impossible. And God reached down and he pulled him out and proclaimed victory. And he raised him so we could have victory in sin and death. So today we celebrate the truth and the life that we should live in response to his victory. Because if we're saved, we have victory too. Right? We celebrate what he's done and we celebrate what he's done for us. And because of that, we're victorious. Because of that, we don't have to be enslaved to sin anymore. Because of that, we're free. We have victory. We don't have to sit over here in this cycle of sin that we've just left perpetuate over the years. So when troubles come, when pain comes and come into life and we're sharing in Christ's victory and remembering that we were resurrected along with him. If we remember, I was resurrected along with him. When I got saved, I'm now identifying with Christ and I have victory because he has victory. So now in this life of pain and this life of suffering, we have the antidote. We have the antidote. Not to say the pain in life isn't going to come, not to say that suffering isn't going to happen, but we now have the antidote because Christ conquered sin and death. So this morning, if you are saved, if you believe in faith, have repented of your sins, and confessed with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you have been raised with Christ, which means your sins were on the cross, and they stayed on the cross, and they're gone forever. They're in the baptism waters symbolically, and you are set free, and you have victory because his victory is your victory. His life is your life because you have accepted the gift of forgiveness in Christ's sacrifice on that cross. Are you alive with Christ today? Are you living as someone who has been born again, born of the Spirit? In his letter to the church in the Colossians, the Apostle Paul, if you remember Apostle Paul, he was the guy who vehemently sought to wipe Christianity off the map, but then Jesus showed up, met him on the road to Damascus, totally changed his life, changed his name, and he began to serve, and he became the most passionate, non-original disciple, most influential Christian really of all time. And he wrote 13 books in the Bible, and one of the ones that he wrote was the book of Colossians, a letter to the church in Colossae. Paul spends in this letter the first two chapters encouraging the church to remain faithful amongst dangerous, deceptive teachings, to remain faithful and to remember what Christ did for them, to remember where they started, to remember where they came from, and usually what is a deceptive teaching. So I tried to present to you and make it clear to you that the resurrection of Christ is the foundation of Christianity. It's the backbone of Christianity. A lot of times when a deceptive teaching comes into a church or into a community, a lot of times what happens is the deity of Christ is removed. The 100% God part of Christianity, of Christ, is removed. And sometimes that is also done in ways that it's taking attention off the resurrection of Christ, or it's adding to the requirements of salvation, or maybe removing things from the requirements of salvation to take it from, rather than just say Jesus conquered death, You have freedom and forgiveness from your sins because of what Christ did on the cross. Now, instead of saved by grace through faith alone, it's saved by grace through faith and this, or faith and this, or faith and this. So what's happening in the book of Colossians, to kind of set the stage for some of the things that I want to look at today, is that Paul is coming in and he's really building like a Mount Everest of defense of the faith and saying, hey, let's remember you are alive in Christ. And don't let these false teachers come in and try to rock your world. Don't let them try to swoop in and take you out at the knees. Let's remember the resurrection of Christ. You were made alive. And he gives them this encouragement to identify with Christ in salvation and baptism. And because of that, you are alive. Your sins are canceled. Your sins are nailed to the cross. So remember the resurrection. Remember Easter. Don't forget about Easter. And here's what he says in Colossians 2, 6 through 14. If you don't have a Bible, you can follow along on the screen. If you need a Bible, we have free Bibles. One of my favorite things to do is to give out Bibles. Actually, of course, that's the stereotype, right? I'm the pastor. But my wife tells me we've installed a moratorium on giving Bibles as gifts. So I'm no longer allowed to do that. At least for the foreseeable future. But here, we've got paperback Bibles to give out at will. So if you don't have a Bible, tool crib stocked full of them. Grab one for free. There's a couple in the Welcome Center too. But for the sake of right now, if you'll follow along with me on the screen, if you don't have one with you, Colossians 2, verses 6 through 14. And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught and you will overflow with thanks, with thankfulness. If you got saved last week, if you got baptized last week, if you're new to the faith, that's a life verse. That's a life verse, to grow and build up in the faith in your following of Christ so that you don't just get saved and sit still and be stagnant until you die and then you step into heaven and say, I did it. No, grow and get closer to God. So let's keep going. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body, so you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. Even Trump, I think, right? When you came to Christ, you were circumcised, but not by a physical procedure. Christ performed a spiritual circumcision, the cutting away of your sinful nature. For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. You were dead because of your sins, and because of your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all your sins. Key word, all your sins. He canceled the record of charges against us, and he took it away by nailing it to the cross. Amen? That my sins nailed to the cross. Gone. Forever. Wiped clean. Washed away by the blood of Christ. To be forgiven, to be raised with Christ and live a life made alive by him because I identify with his death and resurrection, because I unify myself, I unite myself to him and say, I'm with you in salvation by grace through faith alone. Christianity is a supernatural faith. Don't try to put your thumb on it. Don't try to hold it down. Don't try to prove it this way, that way, or the other way. It's supernatural. It's faith. The people that try to prove it, like I said, they can't get it. Try to unprove it, they can't get it done. The people that try to prove it really can't even get it done because it's faith. It's faith. And when you come to Christ, you believe the resurrection by faith as God opens your heart. You repent of your sins, confess Jesus as Lord, and now you are alive, supernaturally united with Jesus Christ. So if you're alive today and you're sharing with him in victory, this Easter, if you're sharing with Christ in his victory over death, his victory over sins, my question to you, are you living it? Are you living it? Or did you get saved when you were 20 years old and never pick up a Bible? Get saved when you're 32 years old and never go back to church? Get saved whenever you're 45 years old and just go and sit down and ignore everything? Or are you made alive in Christ and living like it, asking him to continue to feed into you with more and more faith and more strength? Are you living in light of the cross and the resurrection? Are you living your life in a way that shows the world that your life is in response to the resurrection? Are you living your life that way, or are you still holding tightly to your old life and allowing the lies of the false teachers and the lies of the philosophers and the scientists of this world to tell you that you can't prove it, you can't follow it? Are you living for Christ? So if you walk around and you say you're a Christian, that's kind of part of my question for you today. Are you living for Christ? Have you ever ever expected one thing and gotten something completely different? Have you ever went and you went somewhere and you think you know what's going to happen and then it's completely different? Or has anybody ever told you that this is who they are, but then you later on you finally like, that's not who you are at all. You don't live up to it. Have you ever expected something and got something completely different? In college, I worked for 1 year for Red Lobster. You guys like Red Lobster? Yeah? One person? Pete, glad you're in. All right, we'll go together someday. I love Red Lobster. Love it. Always where my wife takes me for my birthday. Can't get enough. So in college, I had the opportunity to wait tables at Red Lobster. And so think about this combination, right? I mean, I wasn't at my best weight already in college, but you put, okay, so my favorite restaurant on the planet, spending 8 hours a day there, get ridiculous discounts while I'm working, weight was gained. Weight was gained, let me tell you. But it was delicious. On this one particular Sunday noon right after church, I had these two elderly couples came to sit down at my section, and the one couple, you know, it's noon, it's after church, and you know, I should have known better, but here's how it went down. I was just doing my job. Here's how it went down. She's sitting there, and she's trying to decide on her drink order. Now, at Red Lobster, they serve iced tea. But for some reason, so they serve the brand Tetley iced tea. You may know Tetley tea. You can buy it at the grocery store. For some reason, people know that. I don't know why. But a lot of people would come in and specifically order Tetley iced tea. This poor girl, this poor elderly woman on her way home from church, probably having lunch with the pastor, you know, she's sitting there and she's trying to think so hard of the word Tetley. And she can't get it. And I don't know why she didn't just say, I'll take an iced tea, because I don't know what to do. So she's cracking her brain and she finally looks up and she goes, oh, I know what it is. A Long Island iced tea. For those of you who don't know, this is an alcoholic beverage. Doing my good server duties, in hindsight, I should have been smarter than this, but why question the customer? They're always right. I brought her a Long Island iced tea. And I sat it down in front of her, right there, sitting there at noon on a Sunday. And I should have known in hindsight that this poor little Christian lady wasn't ready to start drinking at noon on a Sunday. She took one sip of that Long Island iced tea and her eyes got real big and she goes, "Woo! I haven't tasted that in years." The poor lady lost her religion that day, I think. But I just hope that her husband drove her home. But we righted the situation. But she had an expectation. So I share that with you to say she had an expectation of what she was going to get in her glass, and it was very much, very much far from the truth. So we hear a label, we read a title, we have an expectation of what's coming, and we expect to see that. We expect to experience that. Sometimes people carry titles, they claim identities, but you can't see it in their life. Like, you ever met a mechanic? You're like, yeah, I'm a mechanic, but he doesn't really even know righty-tighty, lefty-loosey. I was like, yeah, I'm keeping my car at home, okay? Or like, I'm a doctor, but they think that chronic plaque psoriasis is a gum disease. You know? That one's a little bit harder to grasp, okay? Think about it. My wife got me on that the other day. So there's a lot of Christians in this world who have identified with Jesus Christ in salvation through his resurrection, and their life doesn't resemble it. They're not living as though they are alive with Christ. My prayer for you today is that you fully identify with the cross and with the resurrection and live that way, to live as though you are saved and baptized and that eternity started the day that you were born again. It started. And now your effectiveness for the cross and the cause of Christ is absolutely pivotal. God is going to use you to reach people, and God is going to grow you with his purposes. So it's important to remember that God did the work of saving you. God opened your heart. You said yes. God did the work, and he welcomes you into his family. So if you identify with Christ in his resurrection, are you living like it? So think about, okay, so God did the work. Now I don't take any credit for God saving me other than whenever God impressed that on me, God kind of like, the fancy word would be he illuminated my heart. Like God, I heard the message and God's like, hey, and I'm like, yes. So all I did was say yes to God. That's what you did when you got saved. You said, yeah, I'm in. I believe. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to live for you. But God did everything else. So now we step into the part where, okay, ask for strength. God guide me. God build me. God save me. But then the ball's in your court portion of this is, okay, if I'm going to carry around this identity, if I'm going to tell people I'm a Christian, I should probably start living like this. So after defending the faith and warning us that while we are alive, the world will still throw muck at us. The world will still try to pull us down into these false, empty religions and false, empty philosophies. This is why I preach from the Bible instead of somebody else's ideas, because that's the very word of God. Because if I venture away from the Bible, if I preach you a 45-minute to 3-hour sermon like we're doing today, then you absolutely want it to be scripture. Don't you? That's important. So after defending the faith, Paul follows it up with this. This is the pivot point of the book of Colossians. And he says to the Christians reading this, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things of the earth. This is one of the coolest pictures, coolest metaphors in the Bible, that the believers are joined with Christ in his resurrection and have victory. Now, there's three different ways to look at resurrection in the Bible. And the first one is physical. Physical resurrection. I mean, literal physical resurrection. It happened twice in the New Testament that I know of. If you know of a third, let me know. But that I know of twice. The first one was Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. Lazarus, if you know the story, he was 3 days dead. He was smelling. He was disgusting. His sisters were like, Jesus, you showed up 3 days late. It's over. But Jesus wept for him and invited him to come out of the tomb, and he walked out alive. And the second time, physical resurrection, of course, as we celebrate today, is that Jesus was physically raised from the dead and could eat and drink with his followers. And then the Bible shows us two types of spiritual resurrection. And the first one, we'll do this backwards. So the first one I'm going to give you is the future for the believer. Most of the time, the Bible speaks about future resurrection, of being raised with Christ as a future event, after you're passed away, an anticipation that either when you've passed away or when Christ returns while we're still living, that we will be raised from the dead and will receive a glorified human body, incorruptible and immortal in heaven. Spiritual resurrection into eternity. 1 Corinthians 15, if you want to read more about that. And for the sake of today, the past for the believer, or when we believe, the future for those who do not yet believe, which is what this verse tells us, we have been raised with Christ, showing that we share in his resurrection and are alive to God and empowered to live a life that's pleasing to God. We are empowered as new creations, born again, to live a life pleasing to God. You don't do anything good. You never have. Jesus said he didn't do anything good. Only the God part of him can do good. But to live a life pleasing of God, we need the power of God living in us. We need the power of God working through us. And we can live as God calls us to live if we're walking with him. We're walking with him, and the Holy Spirit is leading us and guiding us. When you're saved, you are raised with Christ. And what's important is this connection of resurrection for us. Paul uses the phrase, set your minds. So what's it look like on the ground to live your life alive for Christ? What is something that you can do? What can I hand you today to say, I want to be made alive with Christ today? What can I hand you to take home today? Paul says in that verse 2, he says the phrase, set your minds. Set your minds. It's very important. Every word in the Bible there on purpose. Every order in the Bible totally there on purpose. The phrase, set your mind, is a decision. It's an action we take. Remember, God did the work of saving you. You said yes, but the actions we take is, okay, am I going to grow? Am I going to pursue God? Am I going to live my life for him? Do I really want to be alive with Christ? Set your minds. Set your minds is an action. We always tell our kids and our teenagers, we always tell them, you can do anything you set your mind to, right? You can set your mind to succeed. You can set your mind to a career. You can set your mind to a path. Or you can set your mind to video games, or set your mind to bad. Or, you know, I mean, but it's an action. It's a choice that we make. You either set your mind on the things of God, as this scripture tells us, on the things of heaven, and set your mind on the things of Christ. Or you either choose to set your mind on the things of the earth, choose to set your minds on the things of the flesh, or you just kind of let your mind just kind of wander and kind of do its own thing, you know? But he wants us, he's calling us to take the action of setting our minds on the things of God. If you want to be alive this Easter, if you want to grow this Easter, you set your mind to it. And when you set your mind to something, I can tell you for a fact, from experience, that it dominates your life. If you choose to set your thoughts and your mind on something, Christ will dominate your thoughts in a good way. That's my prayer for you today, is that you are alive with Christ and sharing in his victory over sin and death. And if you're not, and you're a Christian, set your mind on the things of God. He will unleash blessing on your life like you won't believe. But don't do it for that reason. Do it because you want to delight in him. because that's what he wants for you. And he loves you so much that he broke into the darkness over and over and over again for you. And if you're not a believer, if you're not a Christian, if you want to share in the victory of Christ, and you believe that Jesus died on the cross on Friday, spent Saturday in the tomb, and rose victoriously this morning, if you believe that, the Bible says repent, confess your sins to Christ, make him the Lord of your life, and you'll be saved. Everybody that calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So if you want to share in the resurrection, if you just don't want to just keep showing up at church every Easter and be like, hey, this happened for you, or yeah, that's a good idea. Okay, yeah, okay, they can't disprove it, big deal. If you want it to be more than that for you, give your life to Christ. Say yes to Jesus, so that you can know that your sins were nailed on that cross and they are gone, gone. Like as far as the east is from the west, the Bible tells us. And if you keep asking for forgiveness for the same sins over and over and over again, God's up there like, what is he talking about? I don't even remember. I forgot. That's my invitation to you today. To be alive with Christ because you were raised with Christ. So please pray with me as the worship team comes to close us out with one more song. And again, I just thank you for being here and worshiping with us today. So please just bow your heads with me. Father God, you are incredible that you chose to break through the darkness and send Christ to die in our place and give us victory. And it's so cool. It's so cool that because of your victory, we can have victory. And that because of you going to the cross, our sins can be nailed to the cross. God, I pray with every ounce of faith that you bless me with, that everyone in this room, if not today, if not yesterday, before they step into eternity, will declare that they want to be unified with you in the resurrection. So Lord, I pray for the salvation, whether they like it or not. I'm gonna pray right in front of their faces today, Lord. If they are not a believer in here today, none of this behind the back stuff, Lord, I pray for every non-believer in this place that before they step into eternity, that you will wrap your arms around them, that you will show yourself to them, and that they will believe and repent. Lord, I pray that you will move in their hearts. I thank you, Jesus, and we praise you and we love you. Amen.